Welcome back to La Bonne Heure with Vali here on CITR 101.9 FM. I am currently located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, and would also like to acknowledge the locations from which and the lands from which you are currently tuning in as well. I am very excited to be back. It's been quite a while since my last show, but back and better than ever, as they say. I have so much new content that I am so excited to share with you all today, in the coming weeks and coming months as well. Today's plan consists of two interviews, as well as, you know, maybe a little self-promotion. I'm going to be playing my song Current that came out last Friday, as well as an interview with a band called Inner Wave and a musician called Adam Brian Paul. It was a pleasure chatting to all of them, and I am excited for you to hear about their music, about their musical influences, and so much more. Before we get started, as I mentioned, I recently re-released my song Current. It is back out on all of your streaming services for everyone to listen to, and I am so excited to share this with everyone. It is a song that I am extremely proud of and that I have put a lot of time, effort, and energy into as well, and would love for you to hear. So, here it is, Current by Vali. That was my song Current, and not to give anything away or too many spoilers, but we will have a few songs coming out mid-November to mid-December, so keep an ear out for those as well. I'll be playing them on the show. Don't worry, you don't have to look too far. But you can also find all of my information and music on my website, which is valie.ca, valie.ca. With that, we will move into some interviews. The first interview that I'll be playing is my interview with a band called Inner Wave, who I was very excited to be able to talk to. Before we get to listen to the interview, however, I will play one of their songs. Here is American Spirits by Inner Wave. Talking to Inner Wave. Would you guys just like to say your names and also your role in the band?
Yeah, sure. I'll start. My name is Pablo and I sing and play guitar.
I'm Eli. I play guitar and keys.
I'm Gene. I play bass.
Wonderful. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
So I thought we would start off with a couple of more like fun questions, just to get to know you guys a little bit better. So I have three of those. The first one being, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I choose teleportation.
Okay.
To be able to travel anytime I like.
That's good.
I like that. Especially now, I feel. Maybe fly for the same reasons. But honestly, maybe like regeneration. So like if I get hurt, I can just like, you know, heal up. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's really a power, but it's like if I could have everything in my body like controlled, you know, if I have a stomach ache, I could just like tell it to go away, you know. Or like you said, like healing, if I cut my arm off, I could just like grow a new one.
That'd be pretty sick.
You know?
I like that. But that also mean you just like you're immortal and your body never.
I think so.
But I like choose my own death, though. You know, when I'm ready to go, I'll just, you know, cut it off.
That's cool. That's like two powers in one.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Healing and just like immortality. That's good. Yep. I was also wondering what your childhood crushes were.
Ooh.
I was just talking about this with somebody. I think mine was Lily Allen.
I think mine was Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah. I think Salma Hayek for me.
And then the last one, I was wondering if you could have any animal in the world as a pet, even if, you know, it's like an ocean animal, so you'd have a giant tank following you everywhere. That's allowed. Any animal as a pet, what would it be?
Huh. Probably a dragon.
Ooh, that's kidding. A good one.
It has to be real, right?
No, I'll accept dragon.
All right, I'll go with dragon.
Yeah, I'm in between an octopus and a lion.
Oh,
so far.
I think I'd have a bear.
Okay.
That would be sick.
Yeah, or a cuddly bear, you know.
And so then moving a little bit further into just music and you guys as a band, and also your history as a band as well. I was wondering where the name came from, In a Wave.
Well, for that name, I remember I was coming up with a whole list of them, like band names, back in high school. And I made a list of like 100 or so names, and I would show them to like my friends and basically just sort of tried to see which one had the best ring to it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was the one that got voted up to like the best sounding. So kind of got lucky like that.
What was some of the other names? The bad ones?
Well, there was one that I'll say, those Battery Bats, which is not horrible, but it sounds like a completely different like genre of band, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I like In a Wave. I'm glad you guys stuck with that one. It's a good choice. So the band kind of has a very interesting and unique history. You guys, you know, three of you have been there from the beginning and then picked up a couple more along the way. Who came up with the idea to start the band and how did that evolve?
I feel like that's between y'all.
It was us?
Because I remember being at your house and you asked me if I wanted to, if I would ever be in a band. And then I said, yeah, but when I'm older. And then the next day at school, you guys ran up to me and were like, hey, we're starting a band. You should be in it.
Yeah, because we both found out that we play guitar. Mm-hmm. And we had the same guitar, too.
Yeah.
And then, I was like, all right, well, we got these already. And then Gene, you play bass. And then our old drummer, Alex, got a drum set. Yeah, once that happened, then we just started.
That's cool. So when you said only until I'm older, you meant like by a day.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. If it was up to me, I feel like I would have waited longer. But I'm glad it wasn't, you know? Mm. It wasn't like that.
So it was kind of an immediate thing. There wasn't much convincing that had to happen, no.
Not really. No, I feel like we were a band for a couple months before we even played music together. Because no one had the instruments yet. Everyone's either saving up or something. But we were still a band. Because we were like, we're a band.
And then we made logos.
Yeah, we were already working on the whole, like, you know, vibe and stuff.
So you mentioned that, you know, some of you guys were saving up for the instruments. Did you all play an instrument going into the band? Or was it you joined the band and then you could kind of pick up new things? You mentioned, you know, the bass and the guitars. But were there other things that you picked up?
Along the way, yeah. Like, I didn't play any instruments before when we started the band, and then Pablo taught me bass, and then at some point we kind of wanted to discover, like, new sounds, so I picked up keyboards. Yeah, I think that's as far. Actually, Eli plays trumpet as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so a little bit, yeah.
I think that's as far as we go.
Have you ever tried, you know, playing a show or making a song with switched instruments or with, like, completely new instruments?
Not completely new, but there's been a lot of lineup changes, and there'd be times where we would switch roles and stuff sometimes. Like, Gene would go, like, he'd play keys, and I'd hop on bass, stuff like that.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And if you weren't in the band, what do you think that you would be doing right now? I know that there was a potential baseball player.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be in the World Series right now playing with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
There we go. That's great. Congratulations on your other reality. But
oh, thank you.
Yeah, so do you think that you'd still be, you know, working on music, or do you think that you would have ended up in a different career or in a different life path?
I don't know. I feel like I really wanted to, you know, make music my, you know, main thing. But I feel like if it didn't work out, I'd still be doing it, but I'd probably have to do something else for like income and stuff, you know, maybe like cooking or something, like in a kitchen, because I used to do that and it was pretty fun. So maybe something like that.
What's your favorite dish to cook?
I like cooking a lot of pastas. Yeah, stuff like that.
I was wondering if you guys have any other bands or musicians that have inspired, not only In a Wave, but have inspired you guys as musicians and as people as well.
Dr. Dre.
MF Doom.
Snoop Dogg. Ice Cube.
Are we just going to the hip hop route? No, there's a lot. Yeah, it's hard to like.
I think Beethoven just turned like 200 or something like that.
Did he really?
250? Yeah.
Damn.
Happy
birthday.
Damn, I thought it'd be way older than, I thought he was like thousands of years ago for some reason.
Or is it 2000? I don't know. But
2000 would be like Jesus time, so I feel like you're right.
Yeah. I don't know. Apple Music has like this whole thing on it.
Yeah.
I was wondering what your creative process is like in terms of songwriting, in terms of recording. I know that you guys refer to your studio as the Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about this is the Swamp. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's take one a section of it. Little look around. And there's the drum kit and the tape machine and the speakers and all the good stuff. But yeah.
So how did you, you know, choose this as your main band space and your as your main hangout and community space?
Yeah, well, I live here, so I feel like I had this garage space available to sort of put equipment in. So it kind of just, I think, started from that. And then slowly we just started, you know, making it better and trying to make it look more professional. And we got better at using equipment, but it's been a long process, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely come a long way.
Yeah.
It used to be real empty in here.
Yeah, and there's like no furniture. So you just have to sit on the ground all the time. It's like not good for your back.
The walls were never painted.
Oh yeah, yeah, for like a couple years.
Yeah, yeah. There was no AC and there's no windows in here either. So it'd get super stuffy and sweaty. That's why we called it the Swamp, because of the humidity. Yeah.
And what about creative process in terms of, you know, songwriting and the recording process itself? Who does what and how do you all get involved?
Well, I feel like it changes. It's kind of, I like to think that it kind of goes into, there's like a couple different formulas. Sometimes it's the whole band coming to like making a song together. Sometimes it's just me and a few of the guys meeting up to write a song and we'll write different parts together, you know? Or sometimes it's just me who's writing the song. But I feel like that's like the three things that happen most often. And then I'll like sort of mix it and then that's pretty much it. It's pretty fluid, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I was wondering if, you know, cause you guys are from LA and from that area and you all come from like different backgrounds and places as well. I was wondering how that's influenced your sound and your music.
I feel like it definitely has. It's hard for me to say exactly how, but just in the way that like we also are, we have similar tastes, but we have different genres of music we might be more into. I feel like that all informs the final product because someone will have an idea that stems from a different thing. I'm sure that comes out culturally too with like how we came up and stuff. I just don't know how. And I don't know how, like, what it would be.
Yeah, probably a lot of us, like, we all grew up with our parents listening to a certain thing, and that's what we grew up listening, like, that's, like, embedded in our brains, you know? So each of us have, like, a certain style, you know, that's somewhere deep down unconscious, you know? And then, yeah, I feel like that's kind of where, like the diversity in our music comes alive too, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like that. Like, before we started hanging out, the stuff that we listen to on our own that we haven't even heard of, like, the stuff that we bond over nowadays, you know? But a lot of that, like home life, you know, where we were away from each other as kids and stuff. That's kind of like the diversity.
That's wonderful. You mentioned different genres of music. If you could write a song in any music genre other than ones that you've already, you know, written and recorded in, what would it be?
Jazz funk. or hip hop.
Yeah, I'd like to. We like to, you know, fuck around with different stuff that never gets released sometimes, you know, but I'd love to produce like a hip hop track for somebody or something like that. Yeah, I'm trying to think of something stranger, like something more out there genre wise. Oh, we actually did make like a metal song one time. Oh, yeah. We put that out on SoundCloud. And it was kind of it was like kind of a joke. We just did it for fun, but I like that song, so.
That was fun.
Maybe that again.
So is that's next on the list of things to do.
That's the next album.
Yeah.
That's the next vibe.
It's just a metal album.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about a day in the life of In a Wave, maybe pre-pandemic and maybe now currently during, you know, this quarantine and COVID time, if things have changed or if you guys still get a lot of opportunities to practice and meet and make music.
I feel like now we have made it possible for ourselves to sort of meet often as we can. So on that front, I think it's pretty similar. I think everything else right now, there's not a lot to do. So it's kind of, yeah, that's the thing that's changed. Yeah, and I don't know what a normal day in the life before COVID.
There's a day on tour.
There's a day on, yeah. Stuff like that.
I wake up early, get in the van, drive hours to the next state. You know?
Stop at every gas station possible.
Yeah.
Get find really random stuff.
Yeah. Get snacks that make your stomach like feel weird.
Like hot Cheetos
and
Red Bull.
Yeah. Like stuff that's just not good for you. And then yeah.
The green room.
Yeah.
Take a little nap maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, like a 5-minute nap and you wake up and you gotta set up your gear, sound check. Takes longer than you thought. Hopefully get a meal in and then play the show and then yeah. Do it over again.
So is your pre-show ritual just kind of napping and just getting ready?
Yeah, I feel like I'll have a drink for like my nerves and stuff, but definitely trying to get like some sleep in before, you know, not right before because I don't want to be groggy, but like, you know,
like waking up as you're walking out on stage.
Yeah, I definitely don't want that.
So once quarantine is hopefully long gone, if you could perform at any venue in any country around the world, or just in, if you could perform and tour any country, where would you go and why?
Damn.
I really want to go back to Mexico.
That's what I was thinking.
Mexico has a, I guess it's like number 5 on like on our Spotify for artists list. Mexico City is number 5, and they're always so nice. Oh, we've only been once, but that one time they were just so nice and so welcoming that, you know, makes you want to go back.
All the crews that we worked with out there too were super professional and nice. You know, I feel like in the States we've had some experiences where they, you know, some people could be kind of mean, like, you know, and they'll just kind of, you know, not be as friendly, but to work with people in a different country and like they're super like professional and really good at what they're doing and they're not being like sassy about it, it's pretty nice and refreshing. Because it makes you feel like, you know, everyone's there because they want to be, and, you know, we're all having, trying to have fun with it, you know? Japan would be cool, man. I feel like I've been wanting to tour. I've been wanting to go to Japan just in general. So I feel like to play a show out there would be sick.
I was wondering if you guys had, from, you know, previous shows and previous tours, you mentioned going down to Mexico, if you have a favorite show or a favorite memory from when you were on tour.
Yeah, like I already mentioned in Mexico City, but that's another one to bring up.
Yeah.
That was really magical that night. Yeah, there was something in the atmosphere that I'd never seen in fans' faces before, you know? That was really nice.
Yeah, that whole day. Because I feel like even before the show, we went to a friend's house nearby to, like, have some dinner. And as we were walking out, we met with some fans that were, like, waiting outside. And I feel like just the appreciation, I guess, I felt it more than I guess I had in other places, you know, which was nice. And they're also very respectful too. I feel like they're like kind of timid to approach too much unless it was cool, which is nice. Yeah, because some people I feel like, you know, just kind of like, because, you know, I get it, you get flustered or whatever, but it was just, yeah, it was a good time.
Do you have a weirdest, you know, maybe fan experience or concert experience?
What about that even Vegas?
Vegas? Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. There's a lot, you know. But I think this one we can mention because it's kind of funny, and I guess, you know, the only thing that happened was like just to me, you know, like it was like yeah, we were performing in Vegas, and yeah, in the middle of a song, I was like singing and I had my eyes closed, and I just felt like a cup with like a drink and ice just hit my face. But I was like not trying to make a big scene about it because I didn't want to kill the mood and just be like, hey, like what was, you know? So I just sort of like took the L and just, you know, I think I mentioned after the song, like, hey, I don't know who did that, but like, let's not do that again, you know, like it's not cool. And then later, like at the end of the show, this guy is like trying to get up on stage. He looks kind of drunk, and I think he's trying to tell me to say hi to somebody on FaceTime. And I was like why would you, you know? And then I look to someone else and they're like, that's the guy. And I was like, he's the guy that threw the cup, because I felt like he was a big fan and he was so excited and was like, and I was like, why would you throw a cup at me, you know? It almost made me feel like, I wonder if it was accidental, like he was like, fuck yeah, and then like it just slipped out, or he was just like, I don't know, man. And I couldn't really ask him. I feel like he wasn't really all there, you know? So
you should train yourself, because the biggest power move would have been to catch it and just
bump. I know. Yeah.
Next time. One day.
Yeah.
I was wondering, you know, thinking about performances and thinking about concerts, if you have a favorite song to perform.
I like playing Oof from our, like, one of our last EPs. Yeah, because I feel like when the beat drops, it feels like everyone in the room is like, oh, you know, they feel like everyone gets locked into that rhythm that then happens for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's not really a song, but what we've been doing recently in like the last couple of years is adding jams to our performances. And I feel like that's a lot of fun, you know, because it's not really a song that everyone could like sing along to, but it, like, it's a new groove and it's funner for us too, because, you know, it feels a little bit more on the scene, you know, like, yeah, kind of jam that's kind of unique, you know,
mm-hmm,
for every show or for every tour. I feel like those get really fun. Because it gives everyone, it's like they get a new song for that day, you know?
I was wondering, so I'm sure you guys, you know, have maybe gotten the question of your favorite song, whether to play or just that you've made. But I was wondering if you have a favorite lyric.
That's a good question.
One for me. It's, Paolo writes all the lyrics, but I feel like, you know, being part of the music, they're all just stuck in here, you know? I feel like one that I always run into all the time is like, was it from Buffalo? But once you think you have it all worked out, time comes by and washes it down.
Yeah.
I feel like that comes up in like in my life all the freaking time, you know? I feel like I start to say it, then I'm like, I think in my head, like, oh, that's the lyric, you know? As it's happening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one that sticks with me.
I like that one too.
And then my last question was, what is next for Inner Wave? Do you guys have anything you're working on? Any plans for post-COVID, for anything, you know, virtual, something that fans can look out for and look forward to?
Yeah, actually, we just shot a live performance at this venue in Pomona. And we try to make it like a stylized like live performance thing with like lasers and everything, kind of what we wanted to do on tour, but we didn't get a chance to. And we're in the process of like editing that. So hopefully by December or maybe January, like we can put that out. Other than that, I guess we'll see what the new year has for us. We've been working on music right now. And just trying to like, you know, dip our toes into that again. So we'll see.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And best of luck with the, you know, virtual. I mean, I know you mentioned you already recorded it, but hopefully that all goes very well. And I'm sure people will love to hear that that's coming and we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's the end of the interview. So thank you guys for, you know, chatting and coming to say hello.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is fun.
Those were Buffalo and Oops, two songs that Innerwave mentioned during the interview that I thought we could give a little listen to as well. Moving on now to my interview with Adam Brian Paul, a Vancouver singer who recently moved to Montreal to start his music career, and who also recently put out this single, Moving On. I'm here with Brian to talk a little bit about your music as Adam Brian Paul and a little bit about your most recent single as well. I thought we would just start off with a couple fun questions before moving more into the music side of things. So to start us off, if you could have one food dish for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh man, starting off with the hard questions. Probably like a pasta dish. I'm really into pasta. It's like nice and simple, but like, I don't know, something about it. Tomato sauce. It's got to be red sauce.
I agree. If you could play a show in any venue, anywhere around the world, where would you go?
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I would love to, because I'm born in Hong Kong, I'd love to play a show there sometime in the future, hopefully, if this pandemic ever ends. I'm not sure about venues there, but That's definitely some place that's on the bucket list.
And what is your favorite spot in Vancouver?
By far, Spanish Banks. Or actually, no, you know what else is good? Pacific Spirit. That's an awesome spot too. So either or.
So moving a little bit more into the music, as I mentioned, I was just wondering when you started making music, when you started realizing that you were interested in being a musician.
Yeah, so that goes way back. As a kid, all I ever remember wanting to do was be a musician. However, I never really got started until just 2 years ago, because I suppose a lot of it is cultural, and being Asian, you kind of get pushed to go into STEM fields, I suppose, and that's what I did. And yeah, it wasn't until like 2 years ago something changed, and I was like, hey, it's time to start making music. And I did, and I started writing music and moving on to one of the first songs I wrote, actually, which is just got released a few days ago. So
before we focus in on moving on, I was wondering if you had any musical influences, whether singers or bands that have influenced your sound and your love and passion for music as well.
Absolutely. I grew up listening to a lot of a variety of pop music. My dad was really into the 60s and 70s pop rock. So we're talking like the Beatles, the Eagles, Carpenters, you know, all that. And me personally, growing up, I listened to a lot of pop punk and a lot of Asian pop music as well, like Japanese pop music, Chinese pop music. And I guess more in the recent years, it's shifted towards really just indie pop rock, bedroom pop even. Yeah, but in general, pop music, psychedelic influences as well.
If you could collaborate with any musician, who would it be?
Maltai Club. I love that guy. I think his name's Alex Breton. God, that guy's a genius. Just like the way everything is layered and how catchy it is too. Just like, it's just a really good pop song with jazz influences, with psychedelic influences, and it's just amazing.
How do you think that, you know, as you mentioned, you were born in Hong Kong, you've lived in Vancouver for a little while, and now you're living in Montreal. How do you think all of that movement in your life has influenced your musical career?
Yeah, definitely a lot. I've thought about this as well. Music is vastly cultural and social, and being from a Chinese background, I was born in Hong Kong, so a lot of the music I was exposed to was, I guess, what made it to Hong Kong, what my dad listened to. So it wasn't, not all pop music, I suppose, was available. It was just like the really popular stuff that made it over there. And that ended up being a lot of what I listened to. And growing up in Vancouver, I suppose, yeah, I did listen to a lot of pop punk, but still it was like really influenced from what my dad had listened to. And I actually just recently moved over to Montreal like a year ago. So I spent most of my years in Vancouver. And so no influences in Montreal yet, I'd say.
Did you get a chance to kind of explore the musical side of Montreal before the pandemic hit, or were you still kind of exploring that?
Yeah, I had about a month before the pandemic hit, so I probably made it out to a handful of shows and a few open mics here and there, but that's all I got.
What are your plans to promote yourself and make your way into the Montreal music industry once, as you said, the pandemic hopefully is over?
That's great, actually. Yeah, the whole point of moving over here was like to really get into the music scene, and I was trying to get out to as many shows as I could. And just before the pandemic, I had like printed a bunch of flyers trying to start a band and just meeting everybody and just networking. But like now things have shifted a little bit. I feel like most things have gone digital now for the foreseeable future, at least a year or something. So it's a tricky spot and I'm still figuring it out. But in terms of marketing, I guess, yeah, social media and word of mouth, really. It's a different world right now, and I think we're girl still trying to figure it out.
I was wondering if you could describe your creative process a little bit in terms of lyric writing, instruments, recording, producing, all of that.
It's all been pretty new to me. It's been, I've been only at it for 2 years. So I'm still constantly learning, and I've experimented so much. And as you can probably hear in the EP, I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen, but there's definitely a lot of different styles and a lot of different instrumentation and styles of songwriting I've been trying out, anywhere from singer-songwriter sort of tunes I write to more focused on like bedroom pop or like the production side of things. So there's like two approaches I take. Either I start a song on the guitar and kind of just write it as like a singer-songwriter would, I suppose. And there's other tunes where I come up with like all the music pretty much and then try to like slot in lyrics. And it all comes pretty naturally. I find all the best songs, for me at least, they just come out. Like when it's time, you know, you just get really inspired, and usually it's a matter of a day or hours before it's written, and that's kind of how I like to approach it, just letting it come out naturally.
So focusing in on your most recent single, which came out only like 3 days ago, Moving On, I was wondering if you would just like to talk a little bit about the lyrics, talk a little bit about what inspired it, and sort of the general themes of the song as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good story. It was in, I was looking back actually just now, and it was in February of 2019, so of last year. I had came up with the guitar riff, and I thought it was like really catchy, and just around then I was meeting new musicians, and I met a guy off Craigslist, went over to his place, and was just playing with that riff, and he had a drum machine, so like I programmed that beat, and initially we wanted to work together, but like there's this side of me that's like, wait, no, I got something here, and I kind of just took it and ran, and just ran with it. I mean, I went home and just wrote the entire thing, I think, that night. And I guess it was just that little bit of inspiration, that drum machine that really got me feeling the vibe. And it was everything I was going through at the time. The lyrics kind of came out naturally.
I was wondering if you had any plans for any virtual concerts? As you mentioned, things are kind of going digital at the moment, to maybe for people to be able to listen to you performing, or maybe new materials as well.
Yeah, that's something that's definitely on my mind. I'd love to do something like that in the future. Right now I'm mostly focusing on writing new tunes and just getting better at producing, and I think I'm mainly going to focus on recorded material, but in the future I'd love to do something live. It's just a tricky situation to sort out right now, and compared with something a little more polished and recorded, I feel like that's where I want to put my focus on right now.
So you mentioned the EP as well, and there are different types of themes that are running through that as well. Could you talk to us a little bit about what genres each of those songs are, and maybe what the lyrical themes that come up throughout the EP are, and what people can look forward to?
For sure. Going into it, I had this grand idea of having this concept album, but what in fact happened was I probably wrote 50 songs or something, and honestly I just chose the 5 songs that were the catchiest and that was most appealing, and kind of ran with that. As for genres, it's all over the place. I always say it's a mixture of indie pop rock with psychedelic influences, and bedroom pop, if you will, as well, and it's got punk influences too. It's kind of all over the place. Every song's a little different, and I'm excited to see how people perceive it. It's not just one sound. For the longest time, I wanted to have this one sound, and that never really happened. Every song has a different sound, and it was quite limiting to try to box it into one sound. And I'm glad I went with what the song needed. And as I continue making new songs, that seems to be the case.
Do you have a favorite song off the EP?
Oh, that's so hard to choose, choosing your kids. a favorite song, probably the last track, 2003. I feel like that's one of those where you can kind of put on and never really get sick of. It's something that's it's just a comfortable place.
Finally, I was just wondering if you would be willing to talk about, you know, your goals with your music, as you are just starting out with this new EP, the single, and just into the future. You mentioned wanting to really delve into the Montreal music scene, but do you have any plans for, you know, where you would like to be, let's say, in like 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my music project is really personal to me, and I view it as something more for me. It's just finding a true expressions, finding something that I'm really proud of, that I feel like resonates with other people and is really good. But like, whether it be sonically or in songwriting, the key is just finding something that is really, I think, good. I think I messed that up, but that's my best description of it.
Very nice. Thank you very much for chatting with me. And good luck with the EP, and we're looking forward to hearing more from you.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. Je me lève le matin, le café dans ma main, il s'éveille dehors. Je lui rêve, ça m'énerve. Toujours la fin du monde. Je retourne dans mon lit, pas besoin des faux sourires sous le son. Je cache en sous la mélancolie. En sous la mélancolie. Pas d'attente, facilement content. Pas besoin d'un sourire avec ta poésie. Besoin d'être triste pour être tranquille et bien dans le silence. La solitude, c'est un câlin trop long et trop pire. J'entends les gens dehors crissent le monde, sont pas trop énervés pour moi et les murs qui shake à cause de mes voisins qui pèsent juste pas. J'ai pas un parking ticket, mais je suis trop bien. Cette mélancolie, je suis trop bien. En dessous de cette mélancolie.
On vient d'écouter Mélancolie de Patrick Watson et Safia Nolin. Et cela nous amène à la fin de cet épisode de La Bonne Heure. Merci beaucoup pour votre écoute et j'espère que vous reviendrez la semaine prochaine pour de nouvelles interviews, des musiciens, de la musique et plus encore. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so glad to be back with you all and can't wait for you to continue to hear all of the things I have in store for you over the next few weeks. Next week, we'll have interviews with Cobra Man.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory